This morning, God's Word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. We'll be reading verses 12 through verse 20. First Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 12, what we hear now is God's Word. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise up us by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. We turn to page 54 in the back of the Psalter. Page 54. This morning, we'll read Lord's Day 41. I will read the questions. You may respond with the answers from page 54 in the back of the Psalter. Lord's Day 41, what is God's will for us in the seventh commandment?
God condemns all
Does God, in this commandment, forbid only such scandalous sins as adultery?
We are temples of the Holy Spirit, body and soul, and God wants both. To be
Well, this morning we continue looking at the law of God and the law of God which is given to us to show us the path of freedom, to show us the path of peace. It's important to remember that. We often think of law as that which restrains us, which keeps us from doing what we want. But God gives us His law because He, as our Creator, knows what is best for us. He, as our Creator, knows the best choices we can make. He doesn't hide that from us, but He clearly lays it out for us in His law. We have seen that we may not take the law and subscribe it to its smallest detail. That is, we talked about you shall not murder, meaning not only murder, but my thoughts, my actions, my words, all of those things are involved. We talked about honoring our parents, which includes all those in authority over us. Not making the commandment small, but it's a very broad command. And the same is true with the seventh commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Our confession picks that up when it says, God condemns all unchastity. God calls us all, whether married, whether single, to live decent and chaste lives. That's sort of how Paul summarizes this section in chapter 6 when he finishes up in verse 20, glorify God in your body. that the things that we do with our bodies must bring honor and glory to God. He is the one who made us. He is the one who knows what is best for us. And when we live according to His commands, we do find ourselves walking in the path of freedom, in the path of peace. This morning, we talk about glorifying God in our bodies. Whether married, whether single, God calls us to chaste lives, chaste and decent lives. Because living this way allows for true freedom of the individual. Now, we must not forget that 1 Corinthians was not written, first of all, to the pagans in Corinth. 1 Corinthians was not written, first of all, to the world. But it was written to the church and to problems that they were experiencing in the church, including sexual immorality. We fool ourselves if we think that this is not a command we have to hear again today, as the people of God, as those who are sitting here on a Sunday morning in God's house. The commandment to chastity, the commandment to decent lives, is not just for the world out there, but the reminder for us that God calls us as His people to live lives that are pleasing in His sight. Maybe this message is especially important for our children. Maybe it's especially important for our young people. Maybe it's especially important for our college students to hear once again God's call to purity. Young people, young adults, children, you will hear all kinds of messages from the world about what you may and may not do with your body. It's important you hear it in church as well, because here we get the truth from the Word of God. The world, we don't know what they're going to tell us. But God will always lead us in the path that gives truest freedom. They say in verse 12, "All things are lawful for me." This is a quote, very likely a quote that Paul himself spoke to them. Remember Paul's context, coming out of a system where law was the way of salvation, where there were certain things you could do and couldn't do. Paul found that freedom in Christ, that now the law was not that oppressive thing. He says, all things are lawful for me. All things are lawful. And now they take Paul's words and quote them back to Paul himself. So Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Yes, it is true that we are free from the condemnation of the law. We are free in Christ to live as He has called us. But not all things that we do are helpful for us. We cannot live however we want. We cannot do whatever we want. I used to have a friend who said, you know, I can live how I want because I'm free from the law. I'm free in Christ. I can do what I want. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Yes, we are free from the law's condemnation, but free to live as God has called us. This is particularly true in our physical relationships. It's true in our dating relationships. That we may not look toward marrying a non-believer. It's as simple as that. Young people, I can't make it plainer to you. We may not consider uniting ourselves with someone who is not of the body of Christ. It is not helpful. It is not going to build us up in our spiritual life. And we say, but what about if I date this guy, if I date this gal? Yeah, I know that they're an unbeliever right now, but I might be able to evangelize them. And wouldn't it be wonderful if through our relationship they became a member of the body of Christ? Dating is dating. Evangelism is evangelism. They are not to be mixed. They are two very separate and different activities. If you have a heart for evangelism, by all means, evangelize. Share the good news of the gospel with someone. But don't begin the dating relationship first. Dating is far too intimate. It is far too close. We get wrapped up in someone, and if God by His providence does not work in their heart, now we have developed a relationship with someone who is rejecting the call of God. We may not do whatever we want. Don't you know you have been joined to Christ? How can you take the members of Christ's body and make them join with a prostitute, with an unbeliever, with someone outside the church? No, this is not helpful. This does not allow any more freedom in our lives, but it actually enslaves us. And that's the second thing Paul says. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. I will not be enslaved. There are many sins in our life which try us and which tempt us, but it seems like sins of the sexual nature have such a huge power to be the master over us. It is so easy to become enslaved to them. We think of this particularly in the area of pornography. It is an ongoing problem in the church of God. It used to be that you needed to go to the wrong side of town. You used to have to go to the CD bookstores, to the bad movie places. Now, pornography is not out there, but it seeks us out in our homes, on our TVs, on our computer screens. We can be innocently searching the internet and the banners pop up. It is a challenge for the church of God. I speak particularly to you men. Do not allow yourself to be enslaved. It is nothing other than slavery. And that which seems so enticing and that which seems to lead to fun and freedom ends up turning around and binding us and enslaving us. You want true freedom. You want true freedom. Stay away from sexual sin. This allows freedom. This allows freedom and liberty for the people of God. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Freedom in Christ is freedom to do what Christ has called us to do. And to live in the way, in our bodies, the way He has called us. Glorify God in your body. Doing this not only leads us to true freedom, but glorifying God in our body builds true, meaningful relationships. By honoring God's command with regard to committing adultery, it builds true relationships within a marriage. When we honor the marriage vows that we have taken, that builds true relationship with our spouse. If you know those who have gone through the pain of divorce because of adultery, you know that it is not simply the physical act that hurts so much, but it's the betrayal of the intimacy, the betrayal of the vows, the betrayal of an exclusive and eternal relationship. When we glorify God in our bodies, when we glorify God in our marriages by staying true to the vows we have made, this builds true relationship. That our spouse knows, no matter what, we will be committed to them. Like the marriage vows say, for better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness and health, in all of these things, to know that we are absolutely committed, that builds a relationship. When we think that our spouse might, for some reason, at some time, leave us, it's so hard to get close. But when we have that exclusive relationship, glorifying God in our body, in our marriages. That's the beauty of a husband and wife really being one flesh. one with each other. Now this building of a relationship starts even before you're married. To have this true relationship in a marriage starts before your marriage. It starts when you're dating someone. It starts when you're in high school. It starts when you're in grade school. It starts with a commitment to flee sexual immorality. Verse 18. Paul couldn't put it any clearer. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee. Not have a passive tolerance of it, but actively flee from sexual immorality. Remove yourselves from those places. Remove yourselves from where those books are. Take the channels off your TV. Get locks on your computer. Flee. Actively flee sexual sin. Not a tolerance, but a desire to glorify God in your body. People will say, but it's just natural. Sexual relationships between people are just natural. It's unnatural to expect our children to be abstinent before marriage. That's the world's message. Paul puts it this way. Food is meant for the stomach. The stomach for food. It's all natural. What's the big deal? In the end, it's all gone anyway. We are meant not for the flesh, not for nature, but for the ways of God, for the Spirit. That is what we have been called to. We are meant for the Lord's ways. Right now, young people, the choices you make will affect the relationship you have with your spouse. Even if you're not in a dating relationship, even if you're dating someone and you end up marrying someone else, the choices you make now will affect the relationship you have with your spouse. Paul says in verse 18, every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. There is something different about the nature and character of sexual sin. And I don't know exactly what Paul's getting at here, but I get a sense of it. If you, in God's providence, should meet someone and decide to marry, and before you get married, you confess to that person, you know, at one time in my life, I took the Lord's name in vain. They would quite easily forgive you. If you say, you know, at one time in my life, I desecrated the Sabbath day, they could probably forgive you for that. At one time in my life, I bore false witness against someone. Okay, I can deal with that. But when you go to your potential spouse, and you say, at one time in my life, I was sexually impure. I did not glorify God in my body. That seems to be a different character of sin. Harder for the couple to work their way through. Maybe even harder to forgive than dishonoring God's name, than dishonoring His day, than bearing false witness. Glorify God in your body now, that you might have a true, honest, free, open relationship with the spouse God puts in your life, whenever that might be. Now I need to quickly add, That sins against the seventh commandment, although they are of a different character, this is not the unforgivable sin. If you have been sexually active before marriage, this morning God calls you to confess and repent and to change, and to know the joy of forgiveness. This is not the unpardonable sin. It is a sin, to be sure, that carries consequences with it. Consequences in our body, consequences in our relationship. But it is not the sin that you cannot get past. When you confess, when you repent, when you change, God makes you whiter than snow. If you have been sexually active this morning before marriage, I have good news for you. It is not the end. But God in Christ can forgive even this sin and bring you into a glorious new relationship with Him and with the person who God might have you marry at some day. You see, honoring God with our bodies shows true love. Love for God. Love for Him because we are choosing to live the way He has commanded us. Our commitment to Him should be seen in the things that we do. Our commitment to God and His commands is not only out of fear of punishment. And sometimes we take that approach. Look, kids, you should not be sexually active because you might catch a disease. Now that's an approach of fear. And we forget that we approach it positively. We glorify God in our bodies because He calls us to. Because this is the path of freedom. This is the path of liberty. This is the path of unqualified blessing. Glorify God. Because He knows you. He made you. He knows what is best for you. And if you want a real relationship, do it God's way. We don't obey out of fear. We obey out of love. Love for God that He has united us to Himself in Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. We are united to Him. God, through Jesus Christ, has linked us with Himself. We were united to Christ in His death and also in His resurrection, His new life. So as people of God, as those who know the joy of salvation, as those who have been forgiven, we now want to live in a way that glorifies God in every part of our life, including glorifying God in our bodies. Paul says, or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are a temple. The temple, kids, was the place where God dwelt. God chose to take up His residence, His visible presence, in the temple. And Paul says, that's what you are. God, by His Spirit, indwells you. God takes up His residence inside of you. And just as that temple was to be a place that people could look to say, God dwells there, so too in our lives. So too in our bodies. That the decisions that we make, that the choices that we make, say to everyone around us, God dwells there. The Holy Spirit inhabits this person. And we show true love for God by seeking to serve Him, by seeking to honor Him, by seeking to make choices that bring glory to Him in every part of our life, including our physical relationships. The seventh commandment is not a burden for the believer. It is not that which keeps us from having fun. But the seventh commandment is that which allows us true freedom. True freedom in our relationships. True freedom with our spouse, either now or the spouse we may have someday in the future. And it is with this, as with all of God's law, that it shows we recognize our connection to Him through Jesus Christ. That because our sins have been paid for, but because Christ has gone to the grave, and because He's been raised to new life, we have been called to a different standard, a different type of living. A living which in every part brings glory to God. In our work, in our homes, glorifying God in our bodies. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for your love and your care for us. You could have left us to find our own way. You could have left us to figure things out by trial and error ourselves and the pain that that would have caused. But you did not do that. You, in your love, gave us the law. A law which teaches us the true path of liberty and freedom, which teaches us how we can show you our love and devotion. Lord God, we pray that if there are those here who have sinned against the seventh commandment, that you would bring them to a confession of that sin before you, a repentance of their ways, but also the joy of salvation, the joy of forgiveness, the joy of knowing your ways. And Lord God, help each and every one of us, whether married, whether single, to commit in our love and service to you to live decent and chaste lives. That is our prayer, O God, for that is the path of peace. We pray that you would hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.